Hello, and welcome to the Mail Report on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo.
And I'm Chris Marshall of the Clickit Comics Library.
In this episode, we'll be discussing the top 300 graphic novels and collected editions sold through Diamond to retailers for the month. The numbers we're going to be talking about in this episode are the top 300 trades, graphic novels, hardcovers, collected editions, softcovers, digests, whatever, as sold through Diamond to retailers for December 2014. Joining me once again for these episodes is Chris Marshall, the Collected Comics Library. How you doing tonight, Chris?
Good, John. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. We got a really kind of interesting breakdown this time around. I say that half the time. Half the time it's really boring. This time it's interesting. DC took the lion's share of the top 300 trades, 29.4% of the total units for the top 300 trade. Not uncommon. DC's got a strong backlist. We all know this. Image Comic, though, right behind it with 27.38% of the total units for the top 300 trades. So just over a 2% gap between those two. And then Marvel is a reasonably distant third, surprisingly, with 20.91% of the total units for the top 300 trades. So Image really has been doing just some great work over the last couple of years, building up their backlist, getting a lot of properties out there that people are excited about. And really, between those three publishers, that's like 77.68% of the total units for the top 300 trades. Everybody else is fighting over what that 22 and a third or whatever percent that's left. So yeah, Image is doing strong. And then IDW is the only other publisher with over 5% of the total units for the top trade, with 5.42%. So again, DC usually comes in first place on this, probably, you know, two out of every 3 months. Marvel usually is the one coming in on that third month. But Image really, you know, over the last couple of months has been coming on really strong and really, you know, growing over the last year or so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to be talking about Image probably a little bit more in our next podcast coming up, which is going to be the year-end show. But, you know, the past few months, you know, Image has really come on strong. And it looks like they're going to be a force to reckon with as we move on into 2015, for sure.
I certainly think so. But with Image, it's hard to say that that's a sure thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because so much of their line is the Image Central line. And that's really, I don't say at the mercy, but it's dependent on who brings material to them and what material they bring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like almost any of these other publishers where they have a lot more control over, you know, how many X-Men books or Batman books or whatever they do in a given month, quarter, or year. I mean, yeah, Image has their house books, if you will. Walking Dead, Spawn, Witchblade, Savage Dragon, Invincible, you know, things of that nature. But so much of what's really moving the needle these days, because it's a lot more than it used to be with just Kirkman is the main.
Oh, it is. Yeah, for sure.
Know, contributor and stuff. It would just take, and I don't think this will happen, but it would just take a couple of creators saying, you know, hey, we're going to take our toys and play elsewhere. You know,
Image, you know, Image had their big Image Expo just a few weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, they had a lot of great announcements. I mean, Todd McFarlane is going to have a new title, and, you know, I think Scott Snyder is going to be on having a new title. So they announced, I think, 15, 18 titles or something like that. So I think it's going to be a pretty good year going forward for a lot of independent stuff coming out of Image here.
I think it's going to be interesting because not only is Image, I think, coming on strong, but DC's got Convergence, Marvel's got Secret Wars. Both of those look to be game changers. It's easy around, you know, the December numbers, the end of the year, to be thinking, wow, next year's just going to be amazing or game changer, whatever. And it's funny how often we say that, and almost every time it does turn out to be that way, sometimes unexpectedly.
Yeah.
But it's, yeah, Image, you know, is again coming on strong, and Marvel's really got to rethink how they're doing some stuff because they've got really strong comics, but it's not translating into the collected edition sales.
Well, that's true. And, you know, maybe that'll happen, you know, this time around. You never know. But, you know, they are looking strong in collected edition sales if they're coming in, you know, over Marvel. You know, I knew they have their Walking Dead and whatnot, but, you know, I still think they're a strong company. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
You know, and I for one, and you know, I think you are happy to see it too, that there is finally a third company. We always say the big two and the little five or whatever it is, but I think Image is slowly chipping away at not just Marvel, but DC as well. And I welcome that. So.
Oh, totally. And on the comic side, Image is head and shoulders above all the other guys except Marvel and DC.
Yeah.
And they're a ways behind Marvel and DC. You know, they're about a fifth the size either by units or by dollars. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they're definitely on the upward trend. They've gotten to the point where they've got a mechanism that's working. They're getting the creators. I mean, years ago it was, hey, come to Image. You know, Kirkman did his manifesto or whatever. It took a while, but they've come.
Yeah.
You know, and they're bringing their A game, their top properties, creator-owned stuff, and it's working.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it'll be interesting to see if this trend continues, if something stumbles or falls, you know, what happens. My money is on it continuing.
Oh, yeah, me too, yeah.
I think that's just good for the industry.
Yep.
Let's see, anything else of great interest on the breakdown? I really don't think so. We've got a ton of different publishers, a lot of which have, you know, a handful of items or something. You know, after, so it's DC, Image, Marvel. After that, it's IDW, Dark Horse, Viz. And then, you know, you get into the percent or two range. And really it just comes down to who had what out that month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a weird publishing month too, with where, you know, New Year's Eve and Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, New Year's Eve and New Year's Day fell on Wednesday, I believe, wasn't it this year? So I remember the last, what was it, December 31st, mm-hmm. like two books shipped, you know, as far as the collected editions go. You know?
Yeah.
So the month was definitely, you know, top heavy.
Well, it's one of those, it's a 5-week month that acts like a 4-week month.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And December is always funny that way of do they do a skip week at the end of the year or not? They never seem to plan that in advance.
Yeah.
And is there a lot of stuff that people are trying to get out in terms of the Christmas holidays or holiday shopping and stuff, or just before the end of the year or whatever, or is there not?
Yeah.
And it kind of felt more in the not category this year.
Oh, it was definitely the not. I think you're right.
And I mean, we jump over to the top 300 trades here, and it's an amazingly lopsided list.
Yeah.
I mean, the top item, Saga Volume 4 Trade Paperback, 24,661 units. Now, I don't think that's a surprise really to anybody, because Saga has been a strong property for a while and is one of those that when it comes back from a hiatus usually jumps up a little bit and such. But it would take the bottom 64 items out of the top 300 to equal that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's insane.
And if you look a little further down from the top of the list, if we filter it to just Image, it's a little easier to see this. We've got the other Saga trades down at ranks 16, 21, and 26 with volumes 1, 3, and 2 respectively. That first volume of the trade has been on the list 26 times before. It's got, 2,445 units this time around. So its total reported estimated sales that we have visibility through these lists, 137,804 units.
Yeah.
Second volume has accumulated, another 1,988 this month, bringing it to 84,865 units. And then volume 3 did another 2,189 units, bringing its known total to 62,182 units. Now that means volume 4, again, first month of sales right out of the gate, and it came out in the middle of the month, so on the 17th.
Mm-hmm.
So really only about 2 weeks worth of sales. In other words, it came out such that stores, if they had wanted reorders, hadn't had time to get them pretty much. They had maybe one opportunity because there was no shipment on the 31st. But that 24,661 units is essentially, I don't, quote unquote, down 60% or so from the previous volume. Again, it's had more time on the previous volume because that came out in March, which is mm-hmm. so 9 months. It built up more sales. Go figure. You know, it'd been on the list every one of those other months. So Saga number four, this is just the start. It's going to keep accumulating. It's going to keep showing up. You know, it does, a 1,000 or so a month or what have you. Pretty soon, it'll be building up towards where these other ones are.
Mm-hmm.
And really, the difference between these is not totally accounted for just by the difference in how long they've been out. Oh, that's a large part of it. But also, you know, more people are going to buy the first volume than the second, more are going to buy the second than the third, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So you've kind of got the, I don't say the double whammy, but the two factors there that compound each other. The longer something's been out and the earlier in the run it is for trade, the better it does.
Mm-hmm.
Hence the first volume selling about twice what the third volume is built up to.
Well, to that end, the Saga hardcover coming in at rank, 86? You know, that did pretty well. You know, I mean, it's got a total number of reported at 9,465, and the estimated sales on the reorder is just over 1,000. So that's pretty good, too, you know, for a $50 hardcover.
Well, and one that had just come out in November.
In November, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, the fact that the hardcover's doing strong as well as the trades, that's a really good sign.
Mm-hmm. And if Image follows suit, they'll probably do a soft cover of that Volume 1 edition. You know, kind of, that's what they do with the Walking Dead compendium. They'll probably do a Saga and soft cover. So, but that probably won't be for maybe another year. So,
yeah,
we'll see.
But it's nice they've got another really strong property, you know, mm-hmm. along with Walking Dead and some of their others and such, to really kind of bolster their sales and get them a little less reliant on Kirkman. Not that I think Kirkman's going anywhere, but mm-hmm. Just, you know, spread the love and that way they can get more things on the list.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the next item on the list is first off, 24,661, the top item, is insane for the trades list. Normally, the number two item here, which did 9,273, that would have been more than enough to top the list most months. By a wide margin, it's about twice what the one below it did. But this one is Captain America Petticard. Jeez, I just cannot speak tonight. Captain America, Peggy Carter, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., number one. It's also a long title.
Yes.
And I've got this. It's $7.99. I think it was even saddle-stitched. So in my mind, it's a comic book.
Yeah, it is a comic book. You're right.
But that's not how they chose to do it. It is technically, I believe, a collected edition collecting, three issues?
I got
issues?
It right here if you want it. Yeah, it's got Captain America and the First 13, which I'm not sure what that is. Captain America, the original series, 184 through 186. And material from Captain America 2011, numbers 1 and 2. And Tales of Suspense, the original series from 1959, issue 77, which I'm not sure what year that came out. That's probably, 1968, 69, maybe?
Sounds about right.
Yeah, it sounds about right.
Captain America in the First 13, when I think the first movie came out, they did a bunch of one-shots,
mm-hmm.
and that was one of them.
Yeah, okay. Oh, you know what? Well, okay, Tales of Suspense 77, That changed into Iron Man or Captain America? Because Captain America started... Oh, you know what? I don't have any of that with me. Now you got me talking funny, John. Come on.
Oops.
Oops. Anyway, it's reprints of old Captain America stuff. But, featuring Peggy Carter.
Well, yeah. And with the Agent Carter series on TV, it's perfect timing to do this.
It is.
And,
yes.
You know, I think that's definitely why it did as well as it did. Whether it should have been on this list or the other, 6½ a dozen. You know, it is a collected edition. It makes sense to be over here. The packaging of it looked more like a comic. I do believe, though, it actually had an ISBN book number, not an ISSN, which is, for a periodical.
Mm-hmm.
So in that respect, it's actually legit to put over here. But again, huge gap between
stamped with your
two.
Approval.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. It's at least understandable. But yeah, big gap between those top two. And then another huge gap when we get down to the third item, which is Just the Tips hardcover from Image, which did 4,827 units. And this, this is a collection of tips, tricks, moves, and advice for how to get into the industry or some such?
I don't know. I'm not familiar with this title.
It's from the guys who do Sex Criminals.
Okay.
I'm not sure what this is.
Yeah.
Not sure what the rating on this is. It may have nothing to do with getting into the comic book industry. It may have lots of other things to do with other things. But It did very well. Third item, you know, but it's one of those that it pains me when you know, under 5,000 is still really strong on the trades list.
Mm-hmm.
Because at one point, we've been doing these episodes for 8 or 9 years. And at one point, I was pretty convinced that the trades were going to take over from the periodicals as the lion's share of the income.
Mm-hmm.
And it, frankly, just hasn't happened. I think digital is part of that. I think the mass market's part of that, whatever. But I also think the waiting for the trade continues to be a waiting, and more waiting and less for the trade. How about that?
Mm-hmm. You're right.
Let's see. Fourth item, man. Image Comics, again, they've done fairly well. It's Manhattan Projects, Volume 5 trade paperback, 4,286. That one's down around 27-28% from where the previous volume has done. Again, that previous volume has had more time. So I have no doubt this will accumulate the sales over time. The one I kind of want to talk about a little bit is there at rank number 5. Sunstone Volume 1 trade paperback, 4,208 units. This is an original graphic novel from Image by Stepan Sejic, who is doing, I think, let's see, he's got Death Vigil coming out right now. He's done 2 trades of Ravine in recent years. At one point, he was doing Witchblade on an incredibly, you know, consistent basis. He did, I don't know how many issues uninterrupted while still doing some other stuff. This guy is crazy prolific, mm-hmm. and a really good artist. So when I actually see an original graphic novel doing 4,200, which is in this case, it's a brand new property or whatever, this is awesome. I love to see that kind of stuff. You know, it's not somebody having sampled an issue saying, well, I'll wait for the full thing at the better deal or whatever. It's like, no, they're actually trying this out at a $14.99 cover price. So,
yeah, I'm just looking at this now. This is highly adult in nature.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. Yeah,
it is a love story for adults. It deals with, what all does it say?
A little bit of bondage, a little bit of that, a little bit of this.
Sex, you know. Relationships, fetishism, erotic romantic comedy.
Mm-hmm.
It's one that's certainly not all ages. No two ways mm-hmm. about that, obviously. But it's also one, I read it, it was, you know, tastefully done and such.
Mm-hmm.
And man, the guy, Stepan Sejic, his art is got a really nice painted style. There are a couple of pages, he did some really cool things with the panel layout and whatnot. I don't know how many things this is going to go for, but, you know, I'm really enjoying his art and the stories he's got to go along with it, both here and in Ravine and stuff. And Ravine is more fantasy, that kind of stuff, which is not really a genre I really gravitate towards.
Mm-hmm.
But man, his art is just great to look at. And it just astounds me, his output, because this was, I don't know how many pages this was. This was at least 128, I'm thinking. I could be wrong on that, maybe a little less. But again, he's got a monthly book he's doing, plus he's had a couple other trades come out. He knows how to manage his time. And some of this may be material he's been working on, I think, on the DeviantArt site for a while. So I think some of that is just let it accumulate and then release the stuff when it's done,
mm-hmm.
which is a smart move. What else do we got that looks interesting?
Let's see. Well, do you want me to jump down to the Nightwing book?
Yeah. You were talking about that a little before we started recording. Tell me what's up with
this
one.
Well, yeah, there's two. First of all, there's the Setting Sun, which is the final of the New 52 Nightwing. It's volume 5. It came in at number 9. Trade paperback for $16.99, 3,370 units. But the one I want to talk about really is the Nightwing volume 1 Bloodhaven, which came in at rank 14 for $19.99. And this actually was a reorder, but I wanted to mention it again because it's really not a reissue, John, because okay, this is where it kind of gets confusing. Okay. Nightwing, and I'm just kind of going to write what I wrote on my blog. Nightwing Volume 1 Bloodhaven collects the 4-issue miniseries and issues 1 through 8 of his solo series from the 1990s.
Mm-hmm.
And I say it's high time DC got to reissuing the series, but this book is missing Nightwing Alfred's Return one-shot. That one-shot was originally collected in Nightwing The Ties That Bind, along with the 4-issue miniseries. Okay? So you got the 4-issue miniseries collected twice there. Okay, clicked right. in this Bloodhaven book, and then ties the bind. But this new Bloodhaven book does not include Alfred's return, which is kind of confusing. However, 1 through 8 was collected way back when in a book called Nightwing, A Knight in Bloodhaven. So that is where the title is kind of screwy.
Have they done a Nightwing Volume 1 Bloodhaven trade before, and did it collect these things?
No. They did Nightwing, A Knight in Bloodhaven trade paperback.
Interesting.
That collected issues 1 through 8.
I don't get why they would collect the 4-issue miniseries and the first 8 of his ongoing.
Yes.
In one thing, and then skip the thing that was in between them.
Well, no, actually, Alfred's return kicked everything off.
Oh, so that was before the miniseries.
That's like an issue 0, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, it's been long enough since I've read this. These did come out in the 90s.
Yeah, so, okay, just to recap, Nightwing, A Knight in Bloodhaven, from years ago, collected issues 1 through 8. This new trade paperback, Nightwing Bloodhaven, collects the 4-issue miniseries and issues 1 through 8.
Hmm.
Got it?
I think so.
Okay.
But if this is something that is new, why is my system saying it's been on the list 21 times before?
Probably because of the Nightwing and Bloodhaven keywords. That's what I'm guessing.
If the other one was A Knight in Bloodhaven, it should have...
It wasn't.
Text strength weird.
Yeah. The original one was Nightwing, A Knight in Bloodhaven. This one is Nightwing Volume 1, Bloodhaven.
This is where having so many Nightwing Volume 1s or whatever Volume 1s just gets confusing.
No, it's true. And because this one also, so not only does, like I said, not only does this collect issues 1 through 8, but it also collects the 4-issue miniseries. That 4-issue miniseries, like I said, was previously collected in Nightwing Ties That Bind. So yeah, it's really confusing. So really, what they should have done was just reissue the original Knight in Bloodhaven and the original Ties That Bind. That's really what they should have done.
The fact that they didn't implies this was the smarter move, presumably. And it begs the question as to how that could have been, because that means they needed to have some person in the production department put together a new cover,
yeah.
You know, recombine these things into the right thing, cut a new file, whatever, send that out to the printer.
Yeah.
Versus just, you know, like you said, hey, we've printed this before, do another printing of it for, you know, X thousand units.
Yeah.
Unless they thought having it all under one cover would somehow do better.
Yeah, because for me as a Nightwing, I wouldn't say aficionado, but I own all Nightwing stuff, right? Oh, it's comics. The Alfred's Return one-shot is really instrumental as it moves into the miniseries and as the miniseries moves into his run by Chuck Dixon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like I said, it almost is like a 0 issue. You know, it goes and then you have your 4 and then the 4 become the ongoing series. That's the progression of the series. And here it gets chopped up and it's missing. So if I'm a Nightwing fan, I'm missing Alfred's return. I'm really pissed.
Well,
you know, I mean, that's really what it comes down to. I mean, and, you know, as a continuity guy, I you know, as a completist, that kind of really just ticks me off. So
if you're a Nightwing fan and you've got one of those other two trades that's got either the 4-issue or the 8, well, you wouldn't want to get this because you've already paid for some of it.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. You wouldn't want to get this.
There's a certain amount of combining two different volumes into a single collection like that. That also just, I don't think it's, you know, fundamentally wrong. It just seems a little odd to me, and something that if it's a different volume, have it as a different volume.
Yeah.
And that ongoing series he had went for...
Oh, 170 issues.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's got plenty of issues to collect.
Oh, with the annuals and a couple one-shots in there. And oh, yeah, there's plenty to go around with Nightwing.
Had they done...
Probably 185 issues or so.
How many of the... how much of that ongoing series had they collected?
Oh, not much at all. There's only been a few trade paperbacks. I can pull it up on Wikipedia.
I'm wondering if it almost kicks off a new sequence of trades on that, which seems just silly and foolish.
I think you're right. Let's see.
This is where the Epic Collection over at Marvel, where they've got a game plan of, we know what's going to be in which volume. We've already worked that out. We just need time to go put them out there.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me.
So even by the time, Knight and Bloodhaven 1 through 8, Rough Justice 8 through, or 9 through 18, and then Love and Bullets, the third trade paperback of the ongoing series, the one-half issue, number 19, skips number 20, goes into 21 and 22, skips 23, and goes into 24 through 29. though that issue number 20 and 23, it does not look like it's been collected at all. And then there's a huge gap. It goes on to collects up to Nightwing on the Razor's Edge, collects issue 52 and then 54 through 60. And then it doesn't get collected again until Nightwing Year One, which is issue 101 through 106. And then there's, you know, and it ends at 153. I'm sorry, ends at 153. So, yeah, huge, you know, 40-issue gap right there.
That's just, one, it's crazy. Of course, this is an old enough series. It was before they were collecting everything the minute it was done. Mm-hmm. And DC's usually had longer durations between the component issues and the collection. Mm-hmm. But this is something where if you were to see it, say, on a mythical mass-market bookshelf, I guess Barnes & Noble's the last man pretty much standing there. I guess there's still Books a Million, but either way. Mm-hmm. And you see this volume number one, that Setting Sun volume five, it would stand to reason it's from the same volume. You're totally wrong about that. That would be jarring. Mm-hmm. They need a better, I mean, the ship's already sailed, sunk and sailed again on this. It's too late to do anything about it, I guess, but a cleaner methodology for how they collect stuff would really, I would appreciate that.
Yeah. Oh, well, okay, looking at the Wikipedia, I guess 19 and 20 were the Cataclysm issues that was collected in Cataclysm. Nightwing 53 was the Officer Down storyline that was collected in Officer Down. So, you know, a couple of the Nightwing issues were collected in those collected editions, those Batman collected editions. But there's still Nightwing the Target, Nightwing and Batman Bloodborne. Those have not been collected. Those were prestige one-shots. Hopefully those would get collected in this new series of trade paperbacks. But yeah, we don't know. So
yeah. Well, hopefully they'll start getting their act together and collect whatever they haven't already collected.
Mm-hmm.
Because if there is a Titans show that comes on the air starring, you know, Dick Grayson, there might be some interest in these down the line beyond just the current comic fans.
Mm-hmm.
And I would go so far as to say I am a Nightwing aficionado. I love the character. Great character.
Yeah.
So, but I've got the individual issues, so I really don't need to follow the trades.
Mm-hmm.
But that is just kind of confusing the way they've done that.
It is. But DC's been doing a lot of confusing things with their collected editions as of late, so we'll see. We'll see what happens in the future.
Yeah. One of the other things we've got on the list from DC, was a little higher at rank number 7, was the Batman, the Jiro Kuwata Bat Manga trade paperback, first of, I think, 3 volumes on that, mm-hmm. reprinting the manga stuff that was done, I think, back in the 60s.
Yes. Yeah, when the TV show was out. Yep.
3,704 units. Pretty sure I picked this one up. I haven't read it yet, though. Should be interesting. Anytime they do that kind of cross-cultural adaptation or whatever, things change.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a good one. In fact, I don't know if I have it handy or not. Oh, I don't think I do. There was a great book that was brought out. Oh, I do have it. Hold on, John.
Mm-hmm.
I got a great book called Manga Kamishibai, and I got it a couple years ago from the publisher, The Art of Japanese Paper Theater, and it was released, when was it released? It's like an art book, you know, of Japanese manga. It was released from Abrams and Sons. But yeah, it's, you know, it's about the early days of Japanese manga. And in that mm-hmm. was my first exposure to the Batman manga stuff. There are a couple panels of Batman manga in this book. There's a lot of war propaganda stuff in here, too, going back to World War II and anti-American sentiment, you know. But it's just really cool to see, you know, the Bat manga. And I'm like, oh, my God. You know, I remember writing Abrams, and I'm like, oh my gosh, can you do some of that Batman manga stuff? And they're like, no, unfortunately, DC has got all the rights to that, or whoever had the rights to it.
Right.
DC, probably. But, you know, hopefully someday, you know, we could get the license and do it. And so I'm really happy that this Bat manga stuff is coming out. I think it's really, really cool. It's 3 volumes, I think.
Yeah.
It's going to be, I'm sure DC is going to collect it into a nice oversized hardcover, I would hope. And that's the way I'm going to get it in one volume. I'm surprised they didn't release it in one, you know, coffee table book and release it through Abrams or something like that, do a dual license.
I can see why they didn't, though, because if it had been one collection and it's, you know, I don't know what they would have charged for that, but it obviously would have been more than what the $15 or $14.99 they charged for the single volume.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it a little more daunting to, do I even want to try that?
Mm-hmm.
So the smaller installment and then the double dipping, I get it.
Yeah. But we know we've seen Marvel and DC do, coffee table books through an Abrams or Taschen or some of the higher end booksellers, and so, maybe they will produce it through that. I just hope there is a volume one of this stuff.
I think it makes sense to do the coffee table edition, but mm-hmm. typically when we see those on the list, we see them a lot further down. Getting this into more hands makes a certain degree of sense too.
Yeah, and and with that, I think there's a little bit of Bat nostalgia going on with the Batman 66 stuff, with the, mm-hmm. the TV show finally getting released on DVD, and that sort of thing. So, yeah.
Yeah, this was the right time to do it.
I'm glad it did so high. This is fantastic, really. Fantastic numbers for this.
Yeah.
I did not expect on the list.
Within the rank 7, so very strong.
Yeah.
I'm a little surprised they did the first trade of the new 52 Futures End stuff already.
Mm-hmm.
Because it did see 3,468 units. In the past, they've usually waited till the series is over before starting to collect it. But this one, obviously, not the case. Have you been following the Futures End stuff?
I have not. I'm probably just gonna pick this trade up. Yeah. So that's a big, thick trade for $39.99. How big is this trade?
18 issues, 0 through 17. Boy.
Yeah.
You may want to wait to see how much it weighs into the convergence stuff and if it really matters.
And multiversity and everything. Yeah.
I don't think it'll play into multiversity. It depends if multiversity plays into convergence or not.
Convergence,
but
yeah. Well, I still think it'd be a fun read. You're reading it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good read.
In places.
Okay.
It's one of those, sometimes the story takes too long to get where it's going. It's a little slow, a little uneven in places. Mm-hmm. And because it's in a 5 years from now mode, when it's all said and done, it may not matter.
Yeah, I read a couple issues. I know I read the Harley Quinn issue. I read the Batgirl issue.
Those were the one shots they did tying into this. This is the mini series.
This is the ongoing series. Okay.
So,
yeah, I know I have the Nightwing issue. I got that for sure. Yeah.
No, some of the one shots and stuff were good. Some of what they're doing in that time frame is interesting. Some of it, between this, Earth 2, World's End, all leading into Convergence, it seems like they've got a fairly big story they're telling here from a couple of different angles,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not sure how much the 5 years from now part of it matters.
Yeah.
And it may. It's not bad, but, it's a lot.
I've always been a sucker for, the Elseworlds tales and everything, possible future. That's why I love what Avengers just did. With Captain America going through time.
Yeah, this is very much
meeting
like
up with
this.
Franklin Richards and everything. That was really cool. So
this is like that, except it's really it's dozens of issues focused on this 1.5 years from now.
Yeah.
So they flesh it out reasonably well.
Mm-hmm.
Versus, again, some of them like the Captain America one where he was bouncing. It's like, let's see this. Let's go another 500 years. Let's go a little further. I thought that was a cool story, too.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, that's one thing I definitely got to collect in trade or hardcover.
With the upcoming Secret Wars, I noticed a number of events showing up on the list, past events from Marvel. It's not unique to this month. Some of them, like Civil War and so forth, we've seen, on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
Infinity Gauntlet, Age of Ultron, X-Men Inferno Prologue, all that kind of stuff. House of M, all the way down to actual Secret Wars itself down at 295. I'm wondering if we're going to be seeing more and more of this as that gets closer.
I would hope. I love Secret Wars. People rag on it for, not standing up for the test of time. But, it's one of the very first things I read as a kid when I was 14. And I loved it. And I have the hardcover and I have the original issues. And I just think it's a wonderful story. I like it because it's, it's not like Future's End where it crosses over into everything and they're one shots. It's 12 issues, one and done. And it's a fantastic story and all the heroes and all the villains are there. And it's a great story. And I love the one issue. I think my favorite issue, John, was when Dr. Doom is roaming the halls of Galactica's ship and Claw's there with him and
mm-hmm.
Doom is trying to figure out what's going on. And I always remember those panels of the interaction between Doom and Claw and what's going on. And I think that was just, I just loved it. I think it was so cool.
It was classic 80s storytelling.
Yeah.
And it was my gateway drug into the Marvel Universe.
Yeah. Oh, me too, for sure. I mean, well, I was reading Spider-Man and Daredevil before that, but this was it. This was like my first exposure to X-Men. I never really read X-Men. I certainly never read Fantastic Four or Hulk.
It's funny. Those were the two, Fantastic Four, Hulk, and Alpha Flight, I think, were the titles I was reading prior to Secret Wars. And then after that, it's like that's when I was starting to get Spider-Man off the rack and just about everything else.
Yeah, I had a buddy of mine that was a huge Alpha Flight fan. And growing up here in Detroit, you know, the Canadian team, you know, it had some credence to it. You know, so we're right across the water from the border and everything. So, you know, here we are. We're inundated with Canadian culture in Detroit. So,
I think
it's a big seller.
Burns' run on Alpha Flight, those first 2 years, as great as they were, would get slammed left, right, and center on the internet these days if they were coming out.
Oh, yeah.
Because the first year, it spent pretty much as a bunch of almost disconnected stories with the different team members, mm-hmm. never as the full team. And then that second year, things really start to pull together. You get some interesting, you know, when they're going up against Omega Flight or whatever, some really cool things going on. And then another twist at the two-year point and whatnot. But the pacing of it was so different than your typical team book that I think, you know, I don't know what, you know, how people were reacting to it back then, but in today's internet age, there's such a easy way for people to express their discontent. Mm-hmm. But I think it was some of Burns, I don't say his best work, but certainly right up there. He's had a lot of best work. So it's hard to say.
Yeah. I really hope the, you know, it's easy to find the digital issues, but I really hope that Marvel does a omnibus of the Alpha Flight run. I think that'd be pretty cool.
It went 120 issues. They could do a couple of omnibuses.
Yeah, they could do three of them. Yeah, I think they could pack it into three.
Totally. Yeah. It would be well worth doing.
Yeah, it'd be kind of fun.
But with the new Secret Wars coming up and them saying it's, you know, turning point for the Marvel Universe, it's... I'm curious how many people are going to want to read the stuff that Battle World is made up of and you know, what the Marvel Universe looks like at the end of all of this.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I don't know. To speculate, I don't know where to even begin, where it's going to go. Is it going to be Ultimate? Are we going to have a Black Nick Fury? Are we going to, you know.
It sounds like the Ultimate stuff's going to get folded in.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Miles and that Nick Fury are, you know, or that Nick Fury and the one we've kind of got in the Marvel Universe now with Junior is kind of, they're going to be one and the same. Well, technically it is Nick Fury
Junior. Yeah, he is Junior, right, yeah.
They may be trying to line stuff up more with what we're seeing from the films. Maybe they're not. I don't know.
So is everything, answer me this, everything ending? Like everything, like, you know, Rocket Raccoon and Guardians and Daredevil, are they all just ending come like May? And then come, what, June, July, they're all going to have new number ones again? Or are they going to continue? We have no idea.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I'm hearing it's a reboot. I'm hearing it's not a reboot. I'm hearing the things will be different. But, you know, they're two pizzas. They're slamming them together. Toppings are going to fall off. They're going to mix, whatever. And I'm thinking you don't know how to eat pizza, apparently.
Yeah.
I'm no expert. You know, I'm gluten-free even. But I do know about toppings falling off because pizzas, you know, you're also dairy-free, no cheese to glue them on. Not good. Yeah. It looks like they're really going to shake stuff up. They're claiming history isn't broken. But you know what? If we go to rank 120 with Age of Ultron, that trade paperback, that one flat out told us the history is broken. Time is broken in the Marvel Universe.
Time is broken. Yeah, we knew that. Yeah.
So them saying it's not the case, I beg to differ.
And it's all Wolverine and Sue Storm's fault for going back in time trying to kill Hank Pym.
I know. Messy.
Yeah, they messed it all up. Yeah.
I hope they don't do a full-blown reboot, but I could see a justification for it also.
Mm-hmm.
It just intrigues me that both Marvel and DC, between Secret Wars and Convergence, are really at the point of just potentially completely shaking up their universes, their publishing line, to just a drastic degree. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's not what's going to happen. Maybe it is. I don't know yet. Give us another couple of months. We'll find out.
We'll find out. It's going to be fun to find out. That's for sure. Yeah.
We can come out of
there are going to be internet trolls that are complaining about it left and right. But, you know, I'm just
no matter what they do, people are going to complain.
I know.
And to a degree, rightfully so.
Sure.
But we could come out of 2015, 6 months into a totally different publishing line at both Marvel and DC, mm-hmm. you know, plus all the stuff Image has in play and, you know, whatever the other publishers do. That's a lot of change.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to say, oh, people are afraid of change, whatever. It's like, well, yeah, because to a degree, there's a reason to be afraid of change, particularly if you're a retailer.
Mm-hmm.
This is a tough time to order stuff. I'm looking at a lot of these numbers, like on the trade list. We go down back to that bottom of the list. That Secret Wars at rank 295, 351 units.
Yeah.
Bottom at rank 300 is 344 units. Compared to that top again of the 24,661, there's a bit of a range there. From the 24,000 to like the 350-ish range.
Yeah.
Stores got to pick and choose what they carry and stuff like that. It's hard enough. And this is with trades where most of this is known material.
Yeah.
Not to say every retailer knows all of this material, but it's at least time-tested and you've got something to go on.
It's funny you mention that because even with the free comic book day, you know, they have the mystery DC title, or
mm-hmm.
maybe it was mystery Marvel. It was one of the two, you know, where, you know, not even the cover for a free comic book day thing, you know? So yeah, you know what they're trying to do, you know, obviously it's a marketing ploy and it's going to work because people are going to order the DC book no matter what, but it adds another little extra flair to it in a way, you know, by not knowing what it is, but
both
it's going to be big, you know.
Both, I think, have two titles. I know Marvel has two. I know DC has at least one.
Yeah.
One of the Marvel's ones is Secret Wars number 0. The other is the all new, all different Avengers.
Yep.
And with DCBS, where I get my comics, it's a, you know, put the 5 you want. And I just sent that in yesterday, day before. And it was tough to narrow that down to 5.
Oh, yeah.
I went with both the Marvels, obviously the DC, and I forget what I went for the other two. I try to hedge my bets if for some reason I can't make it out to all the stores or whatever here, or they're out by the time I get to them, whatever.
Yep.
I'm not one of those that feels the need or has the stamina to trek to every store within arm's reach, because they're kind of spread out here in town.
Yeah.
And some of them have fairly long lines and just get crazy busy and have impossible parking. But using that as a jumping on point to your big summer event, it makes sense.
Yeah.
The whole shrouded in mystery thing, frankly, for me, that's gotten old.
Yeah.
Just tell me what you're coming out with. Don't give away the goods. I mean, tell me it's the all new, all different Avengers. That's great. Do I need to know who's all new and who's all different? No. That's why I'll read the book. But marketing, I think, of comics is a bit of a, not a bit, it's a total lost art.
Yeah.
You know, we're seeing the proof of that, you know, on this list here where, you know, again, you start at that 24,000, you go down the list and it just, the sales drop and drop and drop and drop. By the time you're out of the top 25, you're under 2,000 units.
Yeah.
Most stores are getting a copy of this stuff. Now, for some of this, it's reorder activity, fine. They probably have copies on the shelf. That's great. Or maybe they don't need that next, you know, Daredevil trade, although I think they should. Or that, you know, next Cyclops or that first Cyclops trade, you know, which is actually a fun read. I'm liking that one, too.
Oh, yeah.
But everything getting collected in trade gives less incentive to go get the trades. Then we hit the dilemma you were facing with the Bat manga of, well, they're just going to collect all the collections. I'll wait for that. Okay, that makes sense. Guess mm-hmm. what? They didn't sell you a copy of that volume one.
Right.
You know, they've trained us to wait.
Yeah. Wait for the trade. Yeah.
And, or wait for the Uber Deluxe Collected Edition beyond the trade. You know?
But as you know, some instances they release the hardcover first. Some instances they release the softcover first. You know, just a matter of what they're going to do, you know? But
well, and there's the expectation these things are perennially in print, which we know is not the case.
It's not the case, right?
And that sucks because sometimes I've gotten onto a property late and I want to read it and it's like, well, I'll just get all the trades. Oh, wait, the third one's not available.
Yeah.
Well, that sucks.
Well, I've had even in Riley's site and my site and Twitter, a few people were asking about the Starman Omnibus.
Mm-hmm.
And you recall they all come out in hardcover. They all sold out very quickly. And then DC has the first two out in trade paperback. However, 3, 4, 5, and 6 never came out in trade paperback. So, you know, get it while it's good kind of thing.
And it pays to do a little research before you jump into one of those things. Because if I'd gotten those trades and realized they're only hardcovers after that,
the hardcovers came first, right. Yeah.
But if I had decided I was going to go cheap, if they've got trades, they'd have trades for all and they don't.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
I'd want kind of a matching set of stuff on my bookshelf.
Mm-hmm.
The Nicolai Dante stuff, I've had to go to the new volumes and trade dress for a few for at least one of the volumes, I guess number 3, because the old DC ones were no longer being printed. Okay, licensed property for them, I get it, it makes sense, it's annoying. And now I'm still having to figure out when are they releasing the other volumes, that I can't find in print on the DC 2000 AD collections. You know, they're making some of this a lot harder than it needs to be to get some of these things. Which, I mean, in this particular case where things, flipped, publishers who had the rights and stuff, I get it, but it's still a little annoying. What else do we got that looks interesting? We got a bazillion, Walking Dead trades and collected editions. Go figure.
No more Image.
Yeah.
let's see.
Really, I mean, to me, this was a little bit of a lackluster month with most of the list, 2/3 of the list, being under 1,000 units.
You know, I wanted to ask you this.
Sure.
Because you're a DC guy, rank 270, Suicide Squad, Ballistic Rising. I think this is the new 52 stuff. 1699, 375 units for a total of 3270. You know, there's been a lot of Suicide Squad these days.
Yes.
A lot, you know, we've got them in New 52. We've got them on Arrow. We got a movie coming out, John. What's your take? I mean, is Suicide Squad going to be like, are they going to, you know, they have like Justice League Dark, right? And everything like that. I'm wondering if Suicide Squad, if they're going to really promote the hell out of it as we get into the movie. And, you know, we heard on Arrow that they're going to bring it back on Arrow. So it's almost like this infighting between DC properties right now, between movie and TV. So, what's your take on the future of this title and even the TV show and even the movie?
The movie, they seem to have some casting challenges going on.
They got issues with that too, yeah.
But they've got a strong cast for what they do have.
Yeah.
The Suicide Squad is essentially the Dirty Dozen, but with supervillains.
Yeah.
And villains can be a lot more colorful and fun to watch than heroes.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to worry, by and large, that the Avengers are going to beat the crap out of each other when they're saving the alien invasion. I expect some backstabbing when you've got something called the Suicide Squad. I expect people not to come back from every mission.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's some inherent danger and excitement there that you don't get with just a superhero thing. They've done a really good job, I think, building it up on Arrow. And I think Arrow, it's funny because Arrow's doing such a Arrow and Flash, a phenomenal job building up a TV universe. And this, frankly, is right on the heels of Smallville, which spent a decade building up a fairly good, TV universe. Legion of Superheroes, Blue Beetle, Booster Gold, the JSA. I mean, they covered a lot of ground in Smallville. So, I mean, in short order, they've done as much or more on Arrow and Flash, and the Supergirl series that they've cast may also tie into that same continuity. It may not. Don't know.
Yeah.
So DC's, I think, doing pretty good on the live action TV shows. As for, do we need a Suicide Squad movie? Hey, it's got a interesting sounding cast. It should be fun. Big budget action movie. Sure, why not?
Mm-hmm.
I would kind of like to see, and it would take a little bit of finagling, and I'm not sure who is the right spokespeople to be doing this, good-natured rivalry between the TV stuff and the movie stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that each one pushing the other to do better would be fun and create a different, fundamentally different dynamic than Marvel has, where it's all tied into one continuity. And sooner or later, they're going to need to recast, reboot, whatever. But Stephen Amell has been doing such a great job representing the fans, representing the show of Arrow, standing up for Grant Gustin on Flash. I mean, his second episode comes out and they're already saying, well, this guy's going to be, Flash is going to be played by so-and-so in the movies. Like, dude, he's the top-rated show on the CW and you're stealing his thunder. Not cool.
Yeah, right.
But if they can find somebody on the movie side of things and do kind of, well, you could do this, I can do that, you know, kind of a, we're doing similar but different things. We've got our own space, have some kind of, you know, parallel worldish illusion there going on. It could work out really well. DC could have their cake and eat it too. Mm-hmm. It would allow them to do very different takes on, be it Amanda Waller or other characters, by not tying the TV and the movies at the hip. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think at some point Marvel may find that a little constraining. And Marvel may also find that what they've got as their cinematic universe of the Marvel Studios stuff is directly competing with the X-Men stuff. There's talk of a live-action X-Men TV show.
I heard that today, yeah.
And the Netflix stuff. Mm-hmm. So if you're trying to have one continuity and you don't, I mean, again, the Scarlet Witch Quicksilver stuff, two versions of that could be a little confusing.
Right.
So as long as they tell good stories, good movies, and stay respectful to the source material, I don't have any problems with them making changes, tweaks, doing one continuity, two continuities, whatever. But if it's at the point where somebody sees the Suicide Squad, TV show, movie, era, whatever, love it, and read the comic and think, what is this crap? Because it's so different or whatever, that's a fail. Mm-hmm. And it's a fail across the board on all sides. Nobody wins.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
The comics don't win, and if the comics are what is spawning the TV shows and the movies, long-term, they don't win either. What I would like to see, in addition to the live-action TV shows and movies, and DC's doing pretty well with their original to video animated features, I want to see somebody get back in the game seriously on the cartoons. Mm-hmm. Because I know there are a couple going on, but none that really seem to be talked about, if you know what I mean.
Right.
It's not like the old, you know, Fox X-Men cartoon or the Justice League Batman animated series or what have you.
Well, isn't Titan supposed to be coming back? The cartoon? I know they got the live action show coming out, but I thought the cartoon was going to be coming back.
The Young
Justice one.
Oh, Young Justice? Really?
Yeah, I thought that was the case. I'll have to look it up.
Look that up, and if it is, let me know. I loved Young Justice.
Yeah. Oh, you and me both. We raved about it. Yeah.
Yeah, that was one of the biggest missed opportunities with the New 52. They should have used that as a guiding force for some of the titles.
Yo, absolutely. Yeah, without a doubt.
Instead of going with the Justice League as a closed book group of seven or eight people, if they had done the Young Justice take on it as kind of the core for the New 52, man, that would have been awesome. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, I agree. All right. Hmm.
But, I mean, we've got so many of these properties showing up in live action. Powers is going to be starting up soon on, I guess, the PlayStation Network, which I don't know how I would ever be able to watch that, but I'll see if I can work something out. Again, other shows coming on with Netflix, iZombies coming up soon. There's just so many things. And if that can drive any percentage of people back towards the comics, that's just a win for everybody. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious if when iZombie starts up, I guess in March, if we start to see, you know, trades of that showing up on the list. Because that's one of those where it's got a clear go-to property. If you like the show, check out iZombie Volume 1. So, see if that happens or not.
Yeah. Oh, regarding Young Justice, nope, there's no word. The Apocalypse storyline was not resolved. So, yeah, that's a bummer. That would be great if they were to somehow do something with that show.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's a bummer.
Mm. Well, and it may show up in Convergence as one of the parallel worlds there.
Oh, wouldn't that be great? The comic book was pretty good, too, because the comic book kind of filled in the gaps a little bit, as I recall.
It did. It was a strong read.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that stuff.
Yeah, I know Patrick has a couple of Young Justice books.
Well, it's true all-ages material.
Mm-hmm, it is, yeah.
You know, it's suitable for younger readers, and it's stuff that older readers can really enjoy. You know, it took the material seriously and treated it properly. What more can you ask for? Mm-hmm. So, price points this time around all over the board. As low as $4.99, as high as $125. $14.99 was the most prevalent with 65 items on the list. $19.99 had 41 items on the list, 27 items at $9.99, and then 26 items for $16.99 and $24.99. So between just those couple of price points, that was a total of really only about 60, not even two thirds of the items on the list. You know, we've got another bunch at 13 at $29.99, another dozen at $34.99. That brings us up to 70% of the list. So again, price is just all over the board this time around.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like in the past, we've had a couple of months where it was more centered on just a couple of price points, a little bit better. Which on the one hand, really doesn't matter. On the other hand, if you're standing behind somebody checking out at a store and they're having to go, what's the price on this? Where the hell is it? You know?
Yeah.
People always hated standing behind me when I was checking out when I was shopping at a local store. I'd have this huge stack. They'd be sitting there checking first their watch, then their calendar. You know, it was sad. Really, that's about all I got for this time around. How about you? Anything else?
No, I think that'll do it, man. It was a pretty good way to end the year, I think.
Yeah, yeah. So what do you got coming up on your show? What's going on with what's up with you these days?
Well, I just kicking off another year on my show, coming up on 10 years, John.
Wow.
So I can't believe it, but I just did my adopt a character for the year. It's a thing I do every year where I pick a character, a creator or a writer or artist and kind of follow the progression of that character. And this year I've done so much Marvel. I couldn't believe how much Marvel I've done in the past. But this year I decided to focus on the Bronze Age Batman. There's a lot of great hardcovers that DC has done focusing on Batman by different creators, whether it be Len Wein or Carmine Infantino, Jim Aparo. Of course, there's a Neil Adams run.
Yeah.
And even going into the 80s and 90s, there's a Norm Breyfogle Batman finally coming out in hardcover.
Man, so he was great with the Batmobiles, too.
Oh, fantastic. So, it's really good to see. And, he's had a stroke recently. So, I put in $25 for his fund there over the weekend. But yeah, so all these hardcovers that I've been collecting, I haven't really dove into. So I'm finally going to dive into Batman, in the 70s and him living in the penthouse and everything like that. So him getting back to a more darker tone, which was much different from, the 1960s stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty cool. I can't wait to dive into it.
That's a good era of you? Batman.
Yeah, I can't wait.
I'm doing the usual, plowing through as many comics as I can get through every week, and there's a ton coming out. Weekly Comic Spotlight we've got coming up. What do we got? Let's see. Infinite Crisis, Fight for the Multiverse number 7, Powers number 1. I forget how many Powers volumes this is, but it's a couple in there. And then Galaxy Quest, The Journey Continues number 1.
Oh, how was that?
Haven't read it yet.
You haven't read it yet. Okay, you're going to read it. Okay.
And if I had been planning in advance, I would have figured out time to go watch the movie.
You haven't seen the movie?
I have, but I haven't seen it since it came out.
Oh, okay.
Rewatch the movie, I should say. Of course.
So this is like a sequel. This is a sequel to the movie, right?
Yeah. The Journey Continues is the subtitle.
Okay, cool. Oh, that should be fun.
I have to see if my sister's up for watching that before I record that episode. It'd be fun. Yeah, so got that going on. Usual stuff. Lately, it's just been a lot of number crunching, both with the December, the year-end stuff. Same old, same old. There's just a ton of stuff coming out these days.
There is. I know.
I'm getting around 4 dozen comics a week or something these days. A lot of it's really great stuff. A lot of it's just kind of average, but that happens too.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong with being a solid average book. you got to have that to where the really good stuff both stands out and has something to stand on top of, if you will.
Yep.
A lot of books that I've really enjoyed can't happen without the backstory of the characters. Sometimes you just need to get to know and care about a character before you can tell a really great story. And that helps too. So
that's what I think Valiant is doing really well. I mean, I talk a bit about every episode with you, but I'm, now that Rye is into 6 or 7 issues, I'm really loving that character.
Mm-hmm.
Just a really cool storyline. And Clayton Crane's art is just killer. Just awesome. Can't go wrong with that.
I just read the first issue of Ivar, Time Walker.
Oh, I haven't read that yet. I got to get into that. Yeah, I have it, but I haven't read it yet.
Definitely got to go read that. Good stuff.
Yeah, I do. And now that the death-defying Dr. Mirage is all, I've read the first 2 issues and I kind of got lost.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, all right, let me wait for all 5 issues to come out and then maybe I can get through it because that was some deep writing. I'm gonna start over from the beginning and plow through it. So make sure Patty and the kids are gone for the day so I can spend an hour an issue on that thing.
Well, you know, for some stories, reading it back to back in a single sitting, you get so much more out of it than if you read it when it goes out on a monthly basis or whatever. And just finding that day to really dive into something, it can be a lot of fun. It's hard to set aside the time, but it can really pay off.
Aaron had a swim meet last week, and it was just her and I, and it was in a city a couple hours away. And I brought my trade paperbacks of Brubaker's The Winter Soldier. And I'm like, I read those in like an hour. You know, it was like so good, you know, and I just plowed right through it. And I'm like, what else do I have to read, you know?
Well, but, and that's
one. Those are some great books, man.
You read his early Winter Soldier stuff on that volume of Cap, and it's a different experience now knowing where it went.
Yeah.
Than then sure not is. Knowing where it was going.
Yeah.
And you see what he set up then and how it played out over the years so wonderfully.
Yeah.
It's like, damn, you get to see a level of the story that's initially invisible. It's fun stuff.
And then, you know, even going back and reading The Bitter March, you know, I read that again. I went on digital. I got my fill of a Winter Soldier the past weekend. So that was a lot of fun, actually, to go back, because there definitely is influence from the movie, and there's no doubt. But it's cool to see the movie's influence from the comic, and then to turn it around and see the comics having an influence from the movie. You know?
Well, yeah, because there's stuff that both can do to push the story and the mythos forward.
Absolutely.
And when it's trying to think what's the right word, but there's a synergy there at times. And we're definitely seeing that over at Marvel with S.H.I.E.L.D. now going into the comics and stuff like that. Some of the comic stuff pouring back into the TV show and the movies, and everyone, I think, is coming out ahead on this. So it's great stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
So I think that does it.
All right, sounds good.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. The sales estimates can be found under the sales chart section of the Comic Book Page website. Please email us at themailreport@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening. The views expressed by Don Mayo and his guests are their own and may or may not accurately reflect reality in any way, shape, or form. If they differ from your reality, please verify that you are in the same space-time continuum before taking any action. All numbers given are estimates and only estimates. To think otherwise would be foolish. The estimates given are for sales from publishers to retailers for items invoiced through Diamond Comics Distribution for the monthly question. The Diamond Order Index only goes two decimal places, and therefore there is a margin of error of at least 1/10,000th of the estimate for the key title, which is usually, but not always, Batman. For months in which no issue of Batman shipped, Detective Comics is usually used as the key title. Some numbers are rounded to the nearest 100 for convenience. This may introduce a further level of inaccuracy. No information about how many copies may or may not have sold to readers is included, implied, or denied. Anywhere from all of the units shipped to retailers to none of them could still be sitting on store shelves gathering dust. All reorder activity should be seen only as indications there's at least one retailer that may have an excessive amount of empty shelf space with dust and needs collecting. The list of the top 300 comic books only contains the top 300 comic books sold through Diamond to retailers for the month in question. More than 300 different comic books may have shipped during the month, and obviously not all of them will be included on the list of the top 300 comic books for the month. The list of the top 100 graphic novels and collected editions only contains the top 100 graphic novels and collected editions sold through Diamond to retailers for the month in question. More than 100 different graphic novels and collected editions may have shipped during the month, and obviously not all of them will be included on the list of the top 100 graphic novels and collected editions for the month. In the past, list of top graphic novels and collected editions contained only 50, 25, or as few as 10 items. This means that historical data about graphic novels and collected editions is increasingly limited the further back in time that you look. Fixing this may require time travel, which as far as I know now, has not been successfully invented in the past, present, or any possible or probable future. No visibility into the sales or lack of sales of any comic books, graphic novels, and or collected editions that are not listed on the top 300 comic books or top 100 graphic novels and collected editions lists is included, implied, or denied. The data from Diamond only contains data from Diamond. No information about the sales or lack of sales of any items sold outside the Diamond Comics distribution channel is included, implied, or denied. That information is considered to be outside the scope of this report. If this isn't the data you're looking for, then this isn't the data you're looking for, and no amount of whining will change that. If you don't know why this disclaimer's here, then it probably isn't meant for you. This report is void in the ultimate reality of Duluth, Minnesota. Ath logic and the English language itself seem to work very differently there.